Hey, everyone. I'm Amy Standen, Ear Hustle's editor.
And I'm Rahsaan New York Thomas, Ear Hustle producer. And do you believe, Amy, they left us alone to kick off the fundraiser?
We better not blow it, Rahsaan. The stakes are high.
We're going to blow it. We just have to find new jobs, I guess. This is the second Ear Hustle fundraiser I've been here for, and I never knew how much the show relies on listener support.
It really, really does. From now through the end of this season in June, our goal is to reach 1,000 donors.
So, Amy, for folks who donate, should we tell them where that money goes?
Sure. These donations help fund our ongoing work, but also things like getting us into prisons where we've never been before. Like if you enjoyed our episode about the hospice program at CMF, or the ones we've done with the women we've been meeting at the world's largest women's prison, CCWF. And there's also some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff, like developing an Ear Hustle curriculum for high school teachers.
Listener donations support all of that. Plus, this year, supporters will be invited to join us for a virtual party on June 13th, and they get a playlist of songs picked by the team.
And everyone who donates $10 a month or more will get access to Ear Hustle Plus, which is our new subscription service with ad-free episodes and bonus content.
Find out more and donate at earhustlesq.com.
Listener support means so much to us. Thank you. Should we give the mic back to Nigel Nerland now?
Not yet. We just got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds.
You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My name is Delinia Lewis. I'm an associate warden at the California Institution for Women. The following episode of Ear Hustle may contain language and content that is not appropriate for all listeners. Discretion is advised.
The graffiti in the cells is different at the women's institution than it is at the men's institution. At the men's institution, you seldom see something nice written on the wall. It's usually bad words, you know, swear words, gang signs, threats of some kind, you know, it's bad. But at the women's institution, it said things like, "I miss my kids." And Michelle loves Sarah. Things like that. And I thought, wow, this really is different. I've never seen a graffiti that says, "I miss my kids" at the men's institution.
This sounds like it's just about hitting up on the wall some graffiti. But what's going on here is much bigger than that, Nige.
Exactly. What's so striking about this tape is that we are hearing from someone who has been incarcerated at both a men's and a woman's prison. She has seen the inside of both prisons from an incarcerated perspective. And Earlonne, that is a perspective we have never heard before.
Nope. And it's all because of a new law in California that's really shaking shit up.
Yes.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor.
And this is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Here, if I want to get silly, I can get silly and not have to worry about anything. You know, if I'm going to laugh and giggle about something, I can laugh and giggle about something, not have to worry about some guy going, "Hey, stupid broad, quit doing that silly stuff." You know,
what's the silly thing that you do?
I do tend to whistle more than I probably should. And I laugh. I have kind of a high-pitched laugh. My voice is not a female voice, obviously. And that at first kind of freaks them out when they hear my voice because it is a little deeper. I mean, they look at me and they think, okay, that could be a woman, you know, but then they hear my voice and they say, "Oh, nope, that's not a woman." And I'm cool with that, you know. It's just a matter of, hey, here I am. This is what I am. Let me introduce myself. And usually it turns out really well. My name is Cassidy Porter. I am 66 years old, transgender, male to female. And I'm here at California Institute for Women.
Cassidy spent like 20 years in the military.
Yep, she was a combat medic.
And she has this kind of tough build, which honestly is probably what it took for her to survive all those years as a woman incarcerated in a men's prison.
I used to be a really big guy. I mean, I had 16-inch biceps. I was very strong. I've been in multiple fights, 2 rape attempts, just an ungodly amount of attention from all the wrong people at all the wrong times. I mean, I've been hit up in the chow hall, in my dorm, on the yard. I'm working out. There's a category of men in prisons that they don't care. If you look like a woman, then you are a woman.
When you were first incarcerated at a men's prison, did you think you would make it?
No, to be honest. When I came to prison shortly after my trial ended, they transferred me to San Quentin, and I was clean shaved, and I looked fairly young, even though I wasn't. And I got a lot of attention from the male inmate population.
This is Keir. We heard from her at the top of the episode. Like Cassidy, Keir is incarcerated at the California Institution for Women, or CIW for short.
She's 56 years old, tall and slender with this long, wispy hair, and she kind of has this angular, Joni Mitchell-esque face.
Keir has been incarcerated for 16 years. She started her sentence in reception at San Quentin.
I did not want to come out as trans because I feared that I would be raped or otherwise mistreated. I did not want to be exploited or used or abused or killed by the other inmates. And I didn't want to be perceived as weak for being trans either. I didn't want that attention. And so I let my hair grow and I let my beard grow. And that went on for years. I had a gigantic Jeremiah Johnson mountain man beard, and nobody wants that guy. So it was pretty effective at keeping the hound dogs at bay. But I was also pretty miserable because I wasn't myself.
For a long time, Kieran Cassidy didn't have any other option than to stay at a men's prison. But then in 2021, a new law came into effect in California that allows transgender, non-binary, and intersex people to be housed in a prison that aligns with their gender identity.
Yeah, and I think when listeners hear about this law, depending on your political persuasion, you're either going to think it's amazing and progressive, or you're going to be like, this is nuts, only in California. But for Kieran Cassidy, it was honestly life-changing.
I was really surprised. I never dreamed that it could happen. But when I heard that not only was it possible, but that it was going to happen, I immediately filed my paperwork. I wanted to be the first one on the bus.
Do you remember when you started hearing that the laws were going to change and that you could come to a woman's prison if you wanted to?
I was so pumped.
Did you think it would ever happen?
No. I thought it was just all smoke and mirrors. I was absolutely surprised when they finally passed it. I mean, the shock of this actually taking place and occurring was so overwhelming for me that I just cried these tears of happiness. My cellmates thought I was too emotional, but yeah, I was excited.
So can you tell us about the decision to leave a men's prison and come to a woman's prison?
Wasn't a hard decision, huh?
It was a hard decision.
It was?
There was quite a bit of thought put into it. I can go from one prison to another on the men's side, and I know what's going to happen. I know what the dynamic is. I know what the yard feel is going to be. I can tell when things are going good and when things are going bad. I didn't know what that was going to be like. But once the decision was made, I was committed to it. I had 2 goals. One was to get my surgery. That was the primary goal, was to go through that part of it. And I knew I couldn't do that any place else but here at a women's prison, because I could not be like this in a men's prison. It's just far too dangerous.
I really didn't know what to expect. What I was really looking forward to is being among women and having those role models, not being trapped in male prison culture, which is a hard, cold environment.
Hi, my name is Michelle Cato, C-A-T-O.
And what pronoun do you use?
I consider myself a transgender. I identify with being male, but however, in my environment, I don't like to stress the pronouns. I just like to be called by my name.
Michelle.
Yes, or
okay.
Cato.
Oh, Cato. Yes. Okay, which do you prefer?
I prefer Cato, but okay. Either or I'm okay with. But I prefer Cato because it has some more of a masculine feel. You know, I don't want to change what my mom put, so I go by my last name first.
Cato is also incarcerated at the California Institution for Women, and he's like sort of compact, has these short dreads. What really made an impression on me was his face. You know, it was really open and sort of just invited conversation. You just said something that grabbed my attention, that you don't want to change the name your mom gave you.
Yes, my name is my name, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mother gave me that name, so it's honorable. My name is Michelle Cato, and I prefer to be called Cato. But I'm still a sister. I still have siblings. You know, I'm still a daughter. This is going to always be my mother, and I'm going to always be her daughter. I'm learning to mesh both of what I have to be who I am. I just want to be comfortable in my skin, you know, and unapologetic about it, you know?
On paper, under the new law, someone like Cato could transfer to a men's prison.
Yes, but so far, not a single trans man has done that.
Have you ever thought about transferring to a male prison?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't put myself in harm's way. It don't take no genius to figure that out, whether I got a surgery or not. And I don't know of no female transgender from female to male that wants to really be in a male facility. Now, you hear people that do the talk, but I have yet to know one. You know, they say it would be okay, but I wouldn't put myself in no situation like that. You know, I'm born female. What do I look like going to a men's prison just because my arms is bigger or I have this? Whether you have the surgery or not, if a man knows that you were once a woman, then you're not safe, you know?
That's what you always say.
Yeah, you're not safe.
Yeah.
We've asked trans men, would they go to a men's prison?
Oh, yeah.
What's your thoughts there?
I wouldn't personally.
This is McCall, another trans man incarcerated at CIW.
I personally don't feel safe. And when I say that, it's due to my trauma as a child. I don't feel safe around men in there. You could be a target.
Right.
You know? For being a trans man. So I don't want to experience that.
Basically, the belief is that if you have or had a vagina, you're not safe at a men's prison.
That's what a lot of people are saying. I mean, every time this comes up at San Quentin, that's what people say. A woman is just not going to be safe. In fact, Erlon, last time we were in there, someone was telling us about a trans woman there who's getting all of the surgery done. And she wants to come back and be at San Quentin. And even her friends and her support system there is telling her, it's not going to be safe for you to be here. You really should transfer. And she does not want to. Under the new law, trans women do not need to be taking hormones, nor do they have to have had any gender-confirming surgery to apply to transfer to a woman's prison. They just have to identify as female.
And that makes some people at the women's prison nervous. Here's Kieran Cassidy again.
You know, we were very cautious. We didn't want to scare anybody. We didn't want anyone to be afraid of us. I was pretty sensitive to that. I'm not here to hurt anybody. I'm not here to sexually exploit anybody. I wanted to be, you know, accessible, friendly. I didn't want to turn anybody off.
There was a bit of trepidation in my coming here, plus the things that I had heard about this place, that we weren't wanted, that there was a lot of angst as far as our presence here. And I do get that on occasion. I'll have women tell me flat to my face that, you know, we don't want you here.
How do you feel about transgender women coming to a women's prison?
A lot of people were scared. The ladies was thinking, oh, they're gonna, you know, take it from us and all.
There are a lot of women here that were abused by men, so they have that instant fear.
It's awkward, it makes a lot of people uncomfortable, you know. You see some trans people that are here from men's prison that are legit, and you see some that are not.
I think we should unpack that a bit, Erlon.
So I think what Cato was saying is that he thinks some of these trans women are just pretending to be trans.
Yes, and we should make it really clear. It's not like you can just say, I want to transfer to a woman's prison, and you're on the next bus out. There's this extensive vetting process, and it can actually take years to do.
But still, I think there's a real belief that some men would just lie and say they're trans so that they can come to a women's prison and, you know, have sex with women.
Right.
Or just because it's a nicer place to be.
Has that caused tension?
Yes, it causes tension, you know. It causes a lot of tension. Like, you know, in the shower, we have somebody that's in our unit that's like that. And nobody likes to be in a shower with him, her. It's awkward. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable. People just rolling their eyes. You know, they don't want to be rude, but this is the type of feeling that you get because you can see that something that was put in place to help people that's under that umbrella, somebody has found a way to manipulate it, to use it to get here.
The day we were transferred from the men's prison to the women's prison, I came with another inmate. It was early in the morning. It's a beautiful day. We were driving into the rising sun. It was pretty inspirational. Through the most beautiful parts of California, there were vineyards on both sides for miles. I felt pretty optimistic. This day has finally come. We came to the gate. I started seeing the female porters and said, we're really here.
I can recall the very first moment I pulled up into the reception for women. I was in oranges, so I had to strip out. And men, they just kind of throw things to the grate, you know. Here's your shirt, here are your pants, shoes, da da da. Women, they brought it out in a nice little box. Here's my shoes, here's your socks, here's your underwear, here's your bra, here's your shirt, here's your pants. If these sizes don't fit you, just let us know. We'll get you some more to fit you. And I was kind of like, really? You would really do that? The greatest thing I've had is this decrease in stress that I experienced, that hyper-awareness that you have to have on a men's yard. You don't have to have that here. And that just makes your sleep better. I mean, I sleep through the night now. I really haven't experienced that till I came here. You know, I like to skip sometimes because you don't skip on a men's prison.
I'm sure
ever.
Not. I'm sure not.
Ever. Yeah. I don't have to walk the yard with a buddy. I'm really accustomed to doing that. I don't have to be aware of my surroundings or who's around me. I don't feel a threat anywhere around here. Even some of the big girls, I don't sense as being a threat. In fact, quite a few of them are my friends.
I feel so blessed. I'm very grateful to be accepted and appreciated here. I have lots of friends. People are really nice to me. I just had a birthday earlier this week, and I work in the sewing factory. Everybody's saying happy birthday to me, and they signed my birthday card, and so many people told me that they love me, and they're glad to have me here. And I'm humbled and grateful to be a part of it, and it has really helped me with my transition. Here, I'm among women, and that really helps me with my gender expression because I need role models.
We're taking a quick break. When we come back, all the shit you don't have to deal with anymore when you get transferred to a women's prison.
We'll be right back.
I'm Shankar Vedantam, here to tell you about a great mystery. That mystery is you. As the host of a podcast called Hidden Brain, I explore big questions about what it means to be human. Questions like, where do our emotions come from? Why do so many of us feel overwhelmed by modern life? How can we better understand the people around us? Discover your hidden brain. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for Ear Hustle comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/earhustle. That's odoo.com/earhustle. Odoo, modern management made simple.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, you can basically tell us this. What are the differences between men and women prisons?
Well, they're all prison. So they have fences and barbed wire and guards and a lot of rules. But there are some big cultural differences. At the male prison, racial politics are a big deal. There are some yards where you really can't talk to someone of another race. And that is enforced by the people of your race. It's not like that here. I have not seen any kind of gang or racial politicking here.
Why do you think that is?
I think there's a long tradition in California prisons of male prisoners essentially dividing up along racial lines, gang identification lines, where you're from, you know, what city you're from, maybe even what neighborhood you're from in that city. So there's a lot of that.
But do you think it says anything about the difference between the way men and women think, or do you think it's purely history that created it?
No, I think it is a gender difference in the way that men and women think.
Could you talk about that a little bit?
Men have concerns about status and being perceived as being somebody important. There's people who have to have the most expensive watch available from the package catalog or the most expensive pair of shoes because they want other people to perceive them as being, I guess, affluent. And that attitude also permeates prison culture. Do you know who I am? I'm somebody important from wherever I come from, within my racial group, within my gang, within my town. It's kind of a destructive entitlement. Do you know who I am?
Erlen, I was fascinated by this observation. Because I do feel like a lot of times guys inside just talk your ear off about who they are and how they want to be seen. It really resonated with me when Keir said there's like a destructive entitlement about, do you know who I am? And I kind of get it because your ego is so bruised when you go into prison, right? All that like identity is taken away from you.
Definitely. I mean, it's more of, you know, I'm in control or, you know, I got this, I got that. I think that's the image people push, you know?
I actually struggled in the beginning with hearing a lot of women talking at one time. And just that, I know this is probably inappropriate, but that cackle, you know, just constantly around my head, it was something I wasn't used to. I was much, used to much more lower tone voices. So those were the kind of little things that that I had to get used to. Race isn't an issue, so my friends are every walk of the earth, and we don't have any issues as far as that's concerned. In that respect, I find this place is safer because the violence dynamic doesn't exist here. It's more kind of like a slap fest when fights occur. With men, they're far more weapon-oriented and far more violent. When two guys get into it, they start throwing fists after it's all done. The statement is, we're cool. Yeah, we're cool. And we go to chow hall and have chow together. Here, when that happens, that grudge holds on for ages. I mean, for years, they can be pissed off at each other. But man, yeah, okay, you know, you won. You know, next time, we'll see how that goes.
You know what's driving me crazy about this episode?
What, you heard something that you didn't like just now?
No. Well, there's so many things when we're talking about men and women that fall into these gender stereotypes. Like, we're talking about how the trans women look. We're talking about men having destructive entitlement. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about how men don't hold grudges, but women do. And guess what, Erlon?
That's true.
I see myself in that. Because when something comes up, I know you kind of let things go.
Of course.
I will hold on to stuff forever. So what do we make of that? Like, what do you make of these, like, stereotypes that end up having some odd, truths to them?
I mean,
it's
the reality, man, you know? Again, I think guys don't hold up. Well, I couldn't say all guys.
Not all guys, but
you know what I'm saying?
General.
Most of them don't. I don't
well,
allow stuff
don't.
To get to my core, so.
That's almost your tagline. You don't let stuff get to your core.
Definitely.
Like, I don't let stuff get out of my core.
That's the problem right there. See, I can't have nothing in the core.
Who has more gray hair, you or me?
Look, the core got to be peaceful. I have to have peace.
Really? Yes. Is that supposed to be full of, like, consternation?
Nah, hell no. Here's another thing I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The general vibe between the guards and the women at CIW is really different than all other prisons I've been to, San Quentin, you know, included. It's different. Totally different.
They do things here that I've never seen done before when it comes to dealing with women. I mean, the way they deal with men and they deal with women is completely different.
Example? Like, what's an example?
Okay. Just recently we had a cell extraction.
A cell extraction is when a person does not want to come out to cell, and the officers have to go in and get the person to come out forcefully.
Men's prison cell extraction, they give you two chances. Lay down on the floor, face the wall, feet towards the door. We're going to crack the door open. If you move, we're going to pepper spray you. Here, it's like, hey, come on. Come on outside here. We're just going to talk for a minute. You know, let's have a conversation. What's going on? What's really the problem here? Is there something we can do to kind of alleviate the stress here? Do you need something to eat? Would you like some water? Are you doing okay? I mean, if not, we can get mental health over here to talk to you. It's not like that in men's prison. It's shut the F up, lay down, and they crack the door, and they send 10 guys into a 7-by-10-foot room, press you against the wall, cuff you, and then drag you out. They don't do that here.
So we didn't witness any cell extractions at CIW, but we did see a lot of day-to-day interactions between the women there and the male guards. Mm. Those women, I don't know how else to say it. They were just, like, sassed back.
You were shocked?
I was kind of speechless because I never see that at other prisons.
women, the way they talk to the cops here is just unbelievable. If I talked to a cop on a men's yard, the way they talk to me, they'd have had me in cuffs on the ground in no time at all. I mean, they argue, they swear, they tell them no.
But when we talked to Cato, a trans man at CIW, he had a whole different experience when it comes to interacting with male COs.
There's really something about the battle between incarcerated men and male COs. And it seems to happen whether you're at a men's prison or at a women's prison.
I get around certain men and I can see that I'm being sized up. You know what I mean? And I can see that they so caught up in my appearance to where now, because I'm masculine and muscular, their approach to me is to be aggressive. The transgenders, we make a joke amongst each other that even though we have beards and mustaches, it's certain police, we kind of drop our shoulders around because, you know, our masculinity is so much to where you feel that your heart is racing, but that don't have nothing to do with me. And I don't want the aggressiveness, the machoism to come just because you can't process this, instead of just saying, hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. And then it breaks the ice and, hey, you know what I mean? Or, I'm Cato, by the way.
As we were finishing our interview with Cato, he pulled a card out of his pocket that we had never seen before.
No, it was this laminated card that incarcerated trans people carry that indicates their pronouns and their search preferences.
I'm just going to read what's on here, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So this is a card that Cato carries, and it says, gender identity, male, preferred pronoun, no preference, preferred honorific, no preference, search preference, male.
Cato carries this card because he wants to make sure he only gets searched by a CO of the same gender that he is.
Yeah, I mean, he is a man incarcerated at a women's prison, and life is complicated for him. But when we asked Cassidy about the trans card, she was like, why do I need a card? And it's like, now that she's at a woman's prison, the word trans really isn't useful to her at all.
I go out to medical, and a sergeant asked me, where's your trans card? And I told her, I don't have a trans card. She says, why not? Because for all practical purposes, every inch of my body looks just like your body does. She was female. Do you ask cis women what their search preferences are? Well, no, because they're women. That's my point, Sergeant. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a woman.
So, Nigel, I wonder, did you notice what I noticed?
What was that?
That there were no black trans women at CIW.
I wonder why. What do you think?
Privilege.
Really?
I mean, come on. I know it's a gang of black trans individuals in prison.
Are there?
It has to be.
Maybe they don't want to transfer.
No, and I noticed a lot of white trans women.
Huh.
That just struck me.
What that really brings up for me is that this story concentrated on, what, two trans women's stories?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more to tell here.
Oh, no, definitely, right? Definitely.
I mean, I'm curious about your question about race. I'm curious about, will trans men ever move over to men's prisons? Earlon, we're probably going to want to spend some more time on this another season.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
Ear Hustle is produced by me, Nigel Poor, Earlon Woods, Amy Standen, Neroli Price, and Bruce Wallace.
Along with Rasan New York Thomas, with help from Tony Tafoya and Cy San Quentin.
Thanks also to Casper Sondrer at ABO Comics and everyone at the California Institution for Women for welcoming us there.
This episode was sound designed and engineered by me, Earlon Woods, along with Darrell Sadiq Davis, and with help from Fernando Aruda.
It features music by Antoine Williams, Darrell Sadiq Davis, Earlon Woods, and Rashid Zinneman.
Amy Standen edits the show. Shubnam Sigmund is our managing producer. And Bruce Wallace, father-to-be, is our executive producer.
Thanks to Acting Warden Oak Smith. And for this episode's approval, we're turning the mic over to our new friend down there at CIW.
I am Lieutenant Newborg, Public Information Officer at the California Institution for Women, and I approve this episode.
This episode was made possible by the Just Trust, working to amplify the voices, vision, and power of communities that are transforming the justice system.
And please don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, The Lowdown, where you can learn more about each episode and find out what the Ear Hustle team is up to. Subscribe at earhustlesq.com/newsletter. You can also find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Ear Hustle SQ.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, creator-owned, listener-supported podcasts. Discover audio with vision at radiotopia.fm. I'm Erlon Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor.
Thanks for listening.
People?
Oh, we wanted to come see you, but they locked us down today.
What are you guys?
Oh, you guys are not anything how I expected you to look like.
What are you guys?
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through.
BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy.
Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com.
That's BetterHelp.com.
It's Erlon.
And Nigel.
Here again, reminding you to donate to our spring fundraiser today so we can keep bringing you more Ear Hustle.
Everyone who donates will be invited to our virtual party on June 13th. If you've never been, it's a fun time where we talk about the season and answer some of your questions live. Uncensored, live.
And I will be on the hologram so y'all can see me.
3DE.
On Zoom. Every donation, any amount, will help us reach our goal. So please go to earhustlesq.com to learn more and please contribute.
Thank you.
If you can find it in your heart, in your pocket, in your wallet, in the couch.
Radiotopia.